Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
If you have your Bibles with you this afternoon, turn with me to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. This afternoon we will be considering the first 17 verses. Before we hear God's word read and preached, let's go before him once again in prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this, your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the words of life in it, Lord, that you guide us in your truth. You teach us your truth by your Spirit in the words of Scripture. You show us our Lord Jesus Christ. You reveal yourself to us. For these things, we are very thankful, and we pray now that you would be with us as we consider it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amos chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Hear now the very word of God. Hear this word which I take up against you, a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel has fallen. She will rise no more. She lies forsaken on her land. There is no one to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, the city that goes out by 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which goes out by 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live, but do not seek Bethel, nor enter Gilgal, nor pass over to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, with no one to quench it in Bethel. You who turn justice to wormwood and lay righteousness to rest in the earth. He made the Pleiades and Orion. He turns the shadow of death into morning and makes the day dark as night. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. He rains ruin upon the strong so that fury comes up upon the fortress. They hate the one who rebukes in the gate. And they abhor the one who speaks uprightly. Therefore, because you tread down the poor and take grain taxes from him, though you have built houses of hewn stone, yet you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine from them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins, afflicting the just and taking bribes, diverting the poor from justice at the gate. Therefore, the prudent keep silent at that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord of hosts will be with you, as you have spoken. Hate evil, love good. Establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, the Lord God of hosts, the Lord says this, there shall be wailing in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas! They shall call the farmer to mourning and skillful lamenters to wailing. In all vineyards there shall be wailing, for I will pass through you, says the Lord. Amen. Thus far the reading of his holy word. Well, beloved in Christ, selfishness is sin. It violates the second greatest commandment regarding loving our neighbors. And we considered this truth last week, how the women and the wives of Bashan lived in the lap of luxury and did whatever was necessary to maintain that lifestyle. Amos used the cattle of Bashan as an illustration regarding these women, as they were well fed and well cared for with the lush green pastures in the land. And yet the wives of Bashan built and supported their lifestyle off of the backs of the poor and needy. Self reigns supreme in their hearts. And to make things worse, that reign of self was supported by those who should have helped them take self off the throne, namely their husbands. And this was evident as these wives pressured and their husbands caved and gave them whatever they wanted to keep them happy. Their hearts and their actions were sinful and displeased God. And therefore, God, through Amos, warned them of the coming judgment against them. Hypocritical and false worship is also sin. We are called to worship God in the ways that He says He wants to be worshiped, period. We can't worship God in the ways we want to worship Him for our own pleasure or to look good to others. We must not do things, even good things, in worship for the wrong reasons. A Pharisaical heart can so easily rise up in any of us. And we must not be like Israel, who went above and beyond God's instruction and word from hearts of self-promotion. This too would bring God's judgment, Amos said. And so Israel was to prepare to meet God, the Lord of hosts, the one who formed the mountains and created the wind and walks on the hills of the earth. And last week I pointed out that all will meet God. When He calls a meeting with men, no one can stop it. It will happen. And God in His mercy made such an announcement and gave forewarning through Amos so that the people would repent and would turn to Him. For up to that time, though God brought many judgments against them in time past, yet they had not returned to Him, says the Lord. And in chapter 5, we find Amos's lament. His lamentation over Israel's condition and position before God in verses 1 through 3. We will also consider Amos's call to repentance in 4 through 13, as well as his words regarding good and evil in 14 and 15 as well. So we see in verses 1 and 2, Amos's lament. Hear this word, which I take up against you, a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel has fallen, and she will rise no more. She lies forsaken on her land. There is no one to raise her up. Now, notice that Amos begins this passage in verse 1, and he ends the passage in verse 17 with lamentation. Now, what is lamentation? A lamentation literally is a dirge or a funeral song. It's words someone would give regarding their deceased loved one. A lamentation is a passionate expression of grief and sorrow. It often involves weeping and crying. And notice that Amos's lament isn't over God's people, but rather it's against God's people. His words are said in the manner of prophetic condemnation of God's enemies. And Amos's lament here is interesting because a person doesn't lament what hasn't happened yet. One of the things this lament teaches us is that what was foretold would occur. It was as good as accomplished. And thinking about such a lament should also draw our attention to the Old Testament book of Lamentations, a book that most scholars believe was written by Jeremiah soon after the fall of Jerusalem in the summer of 586 BC to the Babylonians. And this occurred a little less than 200 years after Amos' prophecy. And if you want, you can turn with me to Lamentations chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I would like to consider and point out a couple of things there from that text. Lamentations chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. There we read, "How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow is she, who was great among the nations. The princess among the provinces has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into captivity, under affliction and hard servitude. She dwells among the nations. She finds no rest. All her persecutors overtake her in dire straits. The roads to Zion mourn because no one comes to the set feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh, her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries have become the master, her enemies prosper. For the Lord has afflicted her because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone into captivity before the enemy." Beloved, notice the language that we find here. The city sits lonely. She weeps bitterly. Tears are on her cheeks. She finds no rest. The roads to Zion mourn, for the Lord has afflicted her because of the multitude of her transgressions. You know, these verses give us a flavor of the theme of this book. Lamentations is about the terrible effects of a nation's rejection of God and the sorrow that comes as a result. Very similar to what we've just heard in Amos, isn't it? So Amos lamented, not after the fact, but before, knowing that it would surely happen if they didn't repent. And notice how God describes Israel in verse 2. Of Amos 5. "The virgin of Israel has fallen. She will rise no more. She lies forsaken on her land. There's no one to raise her up." This describes Israel's covenant relationship with the Lord that they violated. This also describes her end, lying forsaken on the ground with no one to raise her up. Their princes, who should have been there to help them up, wouldn't and couldn't. Israel's friends abroad and at home would abandon them. And you know, what's interesting here is that, number one, Amos gave Israel a window into their own funeral, so to speak. While they were right there listening to him, how would you feel? And what would you think if someone read your obituary in your own ears while you were still alive? And as they spoke, you may wonder what words would be shared. What did others really think about you? What did they know about you? How would you feel and what would you think if that person gave your eulogy and their words weren't very kind, but rather laid out a lengthy description of your sin in detail? How would you feel and what would you think if that person spoke of your awful death under the judgment of God? You may think to yourself, how dare they? I'm right here. I'm still alive. They don't know. How could they know? Yet as a prophet of God, Amos did know. And he warned the people of what was to come if they didn't turn. And secondly, it's right and appropriate for us to lament, not only at the death of a loved one, but in regards to those who are living and walking in sin, kind of thumbing their noses at God. We shouldn't have a "he'll get what's coming to him" attitude. But it's good and right to have godly sorrow for them, weeping for them even, as we know their condition before the holy God. We, like Amos, should desire that they would repent of their sins and believe the gospel. But note what Amos said in verse 3. "For thus says the Lord God, the city that goes out by 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which goes out by 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel." So note there, similar to what he said in chapter 3, verse 12, God would spare a remnant of the people. We see that language here. Judgment, but mercy. Judgment, but deliverance. And then in verse 4, we see Amos begin his words to this call of repentance. "For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. But do not seek Bethel, nor enter Gilgal, nor pass over to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to nothing." If you remember, in chapter 4, Amos had just sarcastically called the people to come to Bethel and to Gilgal and to transgress against God in their false worship. And here in chapter 5, verse 4, Amos issues a call to repentance. And in this call, he is very clear about who God wanted them to seek and what he wanted them to stop seeking. They needed to stop going to Bethel and to Gilgal, or even to Beersheba. All of these places had significant religious tradition. However, ritual was no substitute for the genuine, lawful worship of God. My friends, our hope is in the Lord, not in mere external religious practice. But what were they to do? They were to seek God and live. Genuinely seeking the Lord involves turning to him in true faith and repentance. Consider Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." And Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25. "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. Consider these words. "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So notice what is true for those who seek God. One, the Lord promised to meet those who seek him wholeheartedly. He is also good to them. And thirdly, he rewards those who diligently seek him. So a good question is, who seeks after God? Those who don't know the Lord are dead in trespasses and sins, and being completely dead, they can't and don't seek after God. The Apostle Paul teaches us this, that all have sinned in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And there we read, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. So who seeks after God? Well, those whom God has called out of death and darkness into his marvelous light. Those whom he has brought from death to life. Those whom God has regenerated and has given faith and repentance. Those whom God justifies by faith in Jesus Christ. It is they who his Spirit works in to seek him. And if you are trusting in Christ for your full salvation today, seek the Lord. Seek him with your whole heart and walk rightly in your covenant relationship with him. But if you aren't trusting in Christ as your Savior today, know that you are dead in sin, deserving of God's wrath and judgment. But God, who is of great love and out of that great love, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to save sinners. And he did that by living a perfect life, suffering and dying on the cross, where he took the sins of his people upon himself, and he paid for them in full. The eternal wrath of God was poured out on his Son on that cross. And 3 days later, Jesus rose victorious from the grave. And Christ has bought his people and brought them into his family, and we will be with him forever. And if you recognize that you are a sinner and you hate your sin, call out to Jesus for mercy. Today is the day of salvation. But Amos's call in verse 4 is clear and timely. Seek God and live. And again in verse 6, seek the Lord and live. Lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it with no one to quench it in Bethel. My friends, death and destruction were looming. And yet God again, in abundant mercy, called them to turn. Time and again we've seen this in Amos, haven't we? And similar to the end of chapter 4, where God gave 5 awe-provoking actions by his hand, look at verses 8 and 9, where God gives them 4 more. He made Pylades and Orion. Now, Pylades is a star cluster in the constellation Taurus, which can be seen by the unaided eye. And Pylades and Orion are named here together as evidence of his incomparable power and wisdom. And Job also bore witness to this in Job chapter 9, verse 9. But God also turns the shadow of death into morning and makes the day dark as night. He pours the waters of the sea on the face of the earth. He rains ruin upon the strong so that fury comes upon the fortress. Think of that. Consider that imagery. Again, piece by piece, action by action, displaying and communicating the power and the immense and sovereign strength of God. He turns the shadow of death into morning. He makes the day dark as night. Complete opposite. He pours the waters of the sea, onto the earth. He rains ruin upon the strong so that the fury comes upon the fortress. This idea of this strong and mighty structure. A structure that is built for defense. A structure that is a symbol of strength. But yet he brings ruin upon the strong as the fury comes upon the fortress. And then notice, similar to what he did in chapter 4, he identifies who did this all. The Lord is his name. The Lord is his name. And after giving more detail to their sin and oppressing the poor in verses 10 through 13, God then calls his people to seek once again. But notice what he says here in regards to seeking. Beginning in verse 14, seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you as you have spoken. Hate evil, love good. Establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. So what did he call them to seek? Good. And why did God call them to seek it? That they would live. So that they would be in a right relationship with God and he would be with them. And notice the language Amos uses here. Seek good and not evil. Hate evil. Love good. See the matter and focus that he presents. What do you seek? And what do you love? For seeking and loving good and hating evil, according to God's definition, is evidence of true repentance. And this was true for Israel, as it would be the opposite of what they were doing. And if you notice there, that's what he's calling them to. Don't be unjust. Don't rob the people and the poor of justice. But restore justice to the gate. Do what's good and right. Abandon what you have done that's been evil. For they indeed were seeking and loving that which was evil and hated what was good. Beloved, if we take an honest assessment of our own hearts, we will find the same struggle, similar sins, and yet the call remains. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. In fact, we need to seek after the one who is the author and the definition of good, Matthew 19, verse 17. That is Jesus Christ. And further, verse 14 points us to the truth of John 17, verse 3. And John 17, verse 3 says this, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." And so to know God, to know Jesus Christ, is life itself. So the question is, do you know him? And in verses 16 and 17, Amos speaks to the day of the Lord and bookends this passage with the wailing and mourning of those who lament. And we will consider more of verse 17 and the day of the Lord as we wrap up chapter 5 next week, Lord willing. But I'll leave you with this. Lamenting and mourning over those who are stubbornly living in sin and its tragic and deadly consequences is right and appropriate to do. Seeing cold and rebellious hearts is so troubling. And it breaks our hearts. And it may bring many of us to tears, like it did for Amos. And thinking about this, we need to remember the shock of Amos's prophecy. God comes to sinners with a clear message that they are going in the wrong direction. And he does so by telling them the opposite of what they want to hear. Though the people thought that life was grand, they were prospering, many were a part of the rich and famous, they had great material possessions, life was peaceful and going well, yet here came Amos with a message to them that they were dead men walking, spiritually. Amos essentially just read them their detailed obituary. Now wait, how dare he, they may say, destruction was coming from God's hand in judgment because of their sin? All that they had would be gone. Death would be upon them and some would be hauled off into captivity. No way! How could that be? And their deceived thinking all along was, surely God would bless them in the midst of their rebellion against him. Well, have you ever thought that yourself? Life is good, great even. But maybe you're thinking, I know I'm not living rightly. I know I'm not obeying God like I should, but I'm fine. It'll all work out. I don't need to change course, right? Well, in love, I will tell you what you don't want to hear. You're wrong. As Israel needed to repent and go the other direction, so do you. You need to go in the opposite direction. You need to stop railing or fleeing against and away from God. And you need to return to him. Remember this. God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. His judgments and chastening are also meant to lead us to repentance. Remember the trials and the hardships that God brought against Israel in chapter 4. And after each of them, God said, but you didn't return to me. See the kindness of God in Amos's call to repentance. The words, seek the Lord and live, should ring in our ears today. Do you hear these words through the ears of faith? Has the Lord opened your ears and your heart to receive this word? Has he convicted you of things and of ways in which you aren't seeking him as you should? Has he shown you in what ways you need to seek him more? Smash the idols in your hearts, beloved. Remove and abandon everything that is drawing you and luring you away from God. And do that with all your heart. Seek the Lord, beloved. Seek him, and he will bless you as you do. The blessing of his favor. The blessing of his ongoing love and care. The blessing of his provision. The blessing of his presence. The blessing of his relationship with you in covenant love. And finally, hate evil and love what is good. Ask God to help you realign the lenses through which you think and see and live according to what God says is good and what he says is evil. Importantly, know and grow in your knowledge of and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Grow and know the suffering, selfless servant, who is the definition of good, the definition of love and grace and mercy. Grow and know the victorious and risen Savior of his people. Grow and know the just King of Kings who sits high and lofty on his throne, reigning with authority and dominion over all things, and yet is so close and intimate in his relationship with you by his Spirit. Grow, know, and love him more and more today and every day. Amen. May God bless his word to us.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.